Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, our engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers. We appreciate you being with us on a Tuesday, August 8th, 2023. And again, apologize, an hour number two. Although it's getting better, the voice still not back 100%. Still a little hoarse. So here on a Tuesday. That's even a better one.
It's just a little one.
I was waiting for the whinny, but that's even better. I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
I thought I'd shake it up a little bit.
Was that a mare?
I have no idea.
Look at this. We have a rock star now entering the building.
A rock star?
Yeah, Mr. Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow, star of stage and screen from Up North News. He's here in the building. Let's bring him on for a second, shall we? Mr. Zommers is welcoming him in. We'll get another microphone here and have Pat come in. Because this is a rarity. We rarely get live guests here at the show. But he's made his way all the way down from Lake Wissota. I'm not sure if he canoed, kayaked, or rode a...
Do you really welcome in people who literally walk off the street?
That's how desperate we are for guests. We'll take anybody.
Okay, well, we're going for content here, kids.
Mr. Kreitlow, how are you?
I'm great. How's this word? The microphone, you gotta come right about here.
You got to eat these a little bit.
Okay,
yeah,
I understand.
That's one of those deals. I knew you were coming. We didn't bake you a cake.
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's all right. I just wanted to stop by. I had not seen the place since it was finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It looks a little better.
Happened to be on my way to American Family Field. See a Brewers game tonight.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'll be doing the show live from here.
Yeah.
6 a.m. tomorrow, 6 a.m. Thursday. So I figured I'd better make sure I knew where the place was, where right. the doors are, where's the bathroom. I mean, seriously, where's right. the bathroom? I just got here off the road.
The hall. So yeah.
I'll need to do that. But yeah, nice digs.
Well, Pat's, of course, show up North News every morning, 6 until 8 on the network here. But we're going to be at the same place on Thursday down in South Milwaukee for a little public education conference. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be participating in that. And maybe you'll stop by our table and be on the show on Thursday.
I would like that very much. I thought it was... We both had agreed to go to this conference separately. And then each said, oh, and by the way, this Todd Alba is going to be there. He's great. I'm like, I know.
Whatever.
Getting tired of hearing it myself.
Yeah, I know.
I should tell you, though, I did get stopped by somebody over the weekend who I knew from politics a long time ago. You know, just somebody worked the parades and everything. Just a lovely woman who stopped and said, I just have to ask you, is everybody on Civic Media as great as they seem? And I said, absolutely not. Radio is theater of the mind and everything. I mean, you know what a jerk I am.
How do you think
that translates to everybody else? No, every time I don't get out of the house much, but when I do, I collect a lot of love for you guys.
That's cool. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to have you here. Mm-hmm. You want to wait? So we talked last segment on these. Congressman Mark Pocan wrote this letter to Republican Brian Stile, who overchairs this committee, wanting to get this tape released of Van Orton, Congressman Van Orton in the 3rd District, from berating these kids, verbally abusing them.
Frat party. Yeah.
We haven't heard.
Not the kids, the congressman. Right.
Yeah. We haven't heard yet whether Brian Stile's going to do this. But what's your... We had a lot of calls on it. Why aren't they releasing this tape, Pat?
Fair question. If they can give 40,000 hours, was it, to Tucker Carlson?
Right? 44,000 hours, it said.
We're just asking for 40 seconds, really.
Right?
And honestly, in all sincerity, I think the people of the 3rd District and all of Wisconsin are entitled to 40 seconds of video showing a member of Congress after... lots of time spent in an office with, plenty of alcohol seen on site. I've asked on my show, and I'll ask it here, does the congressman from the 3rd District need adult supervision?
That's a fair question. Mm-hmm. And Paul from Spooner called in on the last segment. I thought this was a great point. As a former Republican myself, was preached to for a long time about family values, taking care of the kids. Wouldn't it seem accurate, if they're going to follow that through, wouldn't you want to protect high school kids and find out what happened to them?
If they were high school kids, college kids, anybody in a PAGE program, any office intern there, they are being entrusted to go hundreds and hundreds of miles from home, perhaps,
right,
to do something for their country, for their member of Congress, for their house, what have you. And to think that they could be subject to something like this from, you know, some two-bit politician, ooh, you know, by comparison to what these kids are doing, is really awful. So as much as we might mock the congressman, and I'd say rightly so, there is a lot to be said from an institutional standpoint. If the young men and women we send to our nation's capital are, you know, frankly being protected from some of the more radical people that end up in that building.
Quickly, about a minute and a half left here. I want to get two questions quick.
Yeah, you're right. Look, this clock is huge. I could finally pass an eye test at my age. These are gorgeous monitors. I'm just going to stay here and watch the Brewer game here.
Sure, like a big screen.
Yeah.
As a former legislator, my former boss, Dale Schultz, and on the Democratic side of the aisle, Tim Cullen, great guys, public servants. But, you know, colorful language at time, the late, great Mike Ellis. But in your experience, in your experience of the Capitol, I never witnessed that kind of language being on either side of the aisle, being focused on the pages.
Never. Never. And I served as a page in the Minnesota legislature.
Did you really?
In early freshman year of high school, something like that. And I knew. Yeah. I was interested in state politics from back then because of the interest that the genuineness I saw from these elected officials. And you and I have seen people like that, a lot more of them than there are people like Derek Van Orden.
15 seconds. High-speed internet, a right or a luxury?
Oh, a necessity. A utility.
That's great. And that's the next subject. Great segue. He's a professional. Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 8 every morning. Back with Kamala Harris and high-speed internet after this on the Todd Allbull Show. This is the Civic Media
Radio Network. Network. Yeah. Okay.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show. It is 15 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer. We thank Pat Kreitlow for popping in on the spur of the moment there. Always great to have a visitor, right, Mr. Zommer? We don't get many, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because we have this brand new studio with all this space to have guests, but you know, sometimes your guests are in the middle of nowhere. Or
I also think people just got used to, after 2.5-3 years of COVID, they're just used to Zooming or StreamYarding, coming in on video.
Which, yeah, it makes perfect
sense. Which is fine, but nice to have a live body. Appreciate Pat. And before we quickly on this Van Orden issue, again, Mark Pocan trying to get the tapes released of Derek Van Orden. A couple of texts from Mark in the SACO says perhaps Van Orden is, quote, ancient Spartan, unquote, in his attitudes. Brothers in, quote-unquote, arms, indeed. Well, perhaps. I'll let that sleeping dog lie. Also, from Jeff and Sherwood at WAUK, asking, why is it Stiles' decision? Because it's Congressman Stiles from Wisconsin chairs the committee which oversees this aspect of the House. So, you know, like in the state of Wisconsin, my former boss sat on was called SCURB. That was the acronym. It stood for State Capital and Executive Residence Board or Committee, SCURB. And so that State Residence or State Capital and Executive Residence Committee, they oversee all the kind of the upkeep of both the State Capital and the Executive Residence where the governor lives. So this is why I had a front row seat. This is why I can tell you without any sort of ambiguity, to go back to the Act 10 for a second, when a lot of people, Republicans, claimed, oh my gosh, all these hundreds of thousands of protesters that came in to protest Act 10 destroyed the Capitol, cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. You want to know what that is? That's horse hockey. Because I'll tell you, as somebody who was the chief of staff for a senator on the State Capitol and Executive Residence Committee, and by the way, great folks that take care of our state capitol, all the maintenance people, all the cleaning people, all the people in charge of maintaining the murals and everything. The amount of damage was so small that they had to take a pencil lead, like a tip of a pencil, and put that next to the mark on the wall and take a photo of it to even discern it. And there were, if memory serves, less than a dozen of those marks in the entire Capitol. So the people that protested Act 10 were extraordinarily respectful in terms of the integrity of the building. They brought like painter's tape to put things on the wall to make sure that it wasn't damaging them. So there's the same kind of committee applies to the U.S. Capitol, and Congressman Stiles is the head of that, and therefore his committee oversees whether or not that videotape is released. Let's move on now. At 18 past the hour, coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend John Roach will be in. Writer, screenwriter, all-around Renaissance man, John Roach. On see how his summer's going. I want to see. He's also a big Badger fan. I want to see what he thinks of his having alcohol at hockey games and basketball games. We'll ask John Roach that at the bottom of the hour. Here's another thing, thing from last week while Todd was on a couple of days off. I do not think this got enough coverage. This from WISP Politics. You can find it at wisppolitics.com, a great organization, great reporters at WISP Politics. Headline, Harris in Wisconsin says broadband expansion will create jobs, boost U.S. manufacturing. The question I have for you is high-speed internet a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Is high-speed internet a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789. From WISP Politics, during a stop in Pleasant Prairie, Vice President Kamala Harris pitched the Biden administration's $65 billion, with a B, $65 billion investment in high-speed internet as an effort to drive the creation of U.S. jobs and boost American manufacturing. Harris's tour and remarks at Pleasant Prairie at a plant there on Thursday came on the heels of an announcement by Finland-based Nokia that it will partner with the company to manufacture broadband network electronics in Wisconsin, creating 200 jobs. Harris linked the announcement to the administration's efforts to build broadband infrastructure in the U.S., saying she and the president knew the investment would drive demand for products here. Quote, high-speed internet is not a luxury, but a necessity, Harris said, adding Bidenomics is working. According to the White House, Nokia's partnership will make it the first telecom company to begin manufacturing broadband electronic products in the U.S., right here in Wisconsin, when production begins next year in 2024. Quote, for far too long, our economy has not worked for working people, Harris said. So when President Biden and I took office, we decided to invest in the working people of America. Is broadband internet, high-speed internet, is it a luxury or a necessity? What say you? Let's go to the phones. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Our ongoing friend and contributor, Mr. Jeff Perry. Mr. Perry, what say you?
Hey, Todd. By the way, I have an offer for you if you'd like.
Yes.
I know your voice is a little
yes,
little scratchy there. So I'm prepared, if you'd like, to read aloud from to read aloud from the owner's manual from my old 1975 Mercury Monarch that I had in high school. I could do that if you like.
You have a very smooth voice, and you know, I can listen to you read the phone book, but I'm not sure our entire listening audience would appreciate that. I'm trying to get better, but it's you've been there. It's a bear sometimes. What say you on this broadband? You have kids, Mr. Perry. What do you think about this high-speed internet? A luxury or a necessity?
No, it's absolutely a necessity. And this happened just yesterday in our little village in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure of the reason why. There's a lot of road construction going on, so I don't know if somebody accidentally severed a fiber optic cable or something. But the entire village was without internet for the entire day yesterday.
Wow.
And my daughter works at the local library, and people were coming in and like, I have to use the internet. I have to work, I'm supposed to be working from home. And she had to say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, it's out here too. Wow. The entire village was without internet. And there were I'm sure that there were people that were in trouble with their jobs because they couldn't log in and work from home. It is, you know, I work from home myself, you know, a few days a week. It didn't happen to be yesterday, but that was just by dumb luck. It's definitely a necessity, and there are places in the state that don't have it, and that's that's just ridiculous in 2023.
One of our callers from WAUK, actually it's Jeff from Shorewood, saying, quote, it's a flipping necessity. They forced remote schooling, to your point, Jeff, and they're still advertising it for private online schools. So I agree. I think to me, it's not even debatable. I mean, I think Pat Kreitlow said it before the break. It's basically now a utility, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah, definitely a necessity. It should be, you know, it's like water and electricity at this point. It really is.
I agree with you. Jeff, always a pleasure to hear your voice. Yours is certainly much better than mine today. So maybe I'll take you up. If things go sour with John Roach, I may bring you in and just, you know, just read the manual.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready at a moment's notice.
All right. Stand by, Jeff. Appreciate you. Thank you, Jeff Perry. What do you think about this? High-speed internet, a luxury or a necessity? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, always a pleasure. What say you?
Well, thank you, Todd. Nice show today. The first thing I want to say, though, is I was down in Madison during Act 10. Peaceful, no damage that I seen. So if Walker was the one that was scared. He hid in a tunnel. He, he wouldn't even come out and greet the people. So the man was petrified.
He was.
And I don't know why, because it was a peaceful demonstration. But high-speed internet is a necessity. Put it in everywhere you can. Spend the money. You just have to have it. Nowadays, it's not completely similar, but it's much like electricity. That's just the way it is. Thanks for your show, Todd, and letting me talk.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
You're welcome here anytime. Appreciate Wisco, Paul. Thank you so very much. I agree with Wisco. I absolutely agree. It is a utility at this point. Because as we move on in life and time, I mean, most places, I don't care whether you're applying to a Baskin-Robbins or a Fortune 500 company. Most places, you can't even go in and turn in a paper application anymore. They say, well, go online here, fill out our application. So how do you get employed if you don't have internet?
And how do you have a company if you don't have internet? Because you need to accept those applications. And let's say you need a pharmacy in your rural town. All those insurance claims, even if you could file them by paper and not online, it would take ages, and you need to be able to dispense medication. You need to be able to communicate with other hospital systems. And you might say, well, I'll just go to a bigger city for that. But that why would you deny smaller communities the opportunity for growth?
And you just hit the nail on the head, Mr. Zomers, that this is not about supporting urban liberals. I'll be very generic for a second to make my point. This is not about, you know, oh, we're going to make sure these big cities are taken care of. Mr. Zomers is 100% correct. This is about taking care of rural Wisconsin. And I want all of Wisconsin taken care of, both urban and rural. But the amount of access to high-speed internet in the rural parts of the state versus the urban parts of the state is dramatic. And this is the irony, is that the Republican Party, who are the people who by far and away represent a lot more of rural America, rural Wisconsin than Democrats, they are the most opposed to making sure that we get high-speed internet to their own constituents. Remember, it was Republicans and Democrats working together that helped rural electrification in this state. And yet today, when we have a vice president, Kamala Harris, that comes to this state and announces this investment in broadband, you know what the Republican response is? Here is Brian Schimming, the Republican state chair. His response is said the visit, quote, will be nothing more than a failed attempt at damage control. You want to know what? You don't want to know what that? I'll tell you what it means. Because I've been there. It means they got nothing. All right? They got nothing. What used to happen is it used to be that when one party had an idea like this, we're going to invest in the state. You know what was good politics back then? Would have been for Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu to stand next to Harris and say, you know what? We might disagree on a lot, but we can agree on the fact that Wisconsin needs broadband internet. They didn't do it because they're too much of a bunch of partisan goofballs. Back with one person that is not. That is John Roach. He'll be with us. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, the 8th of August, 2023. Glad to have you along. John Roach, we'll be awaiting him. It was a technical glitch on our side, so we apologize for that. But I believe Mr. Zommers will be joining us either in StreamYard or on the phone. So we'll kind of be watching both here to see if we can make connection with Mr. Roach. And, look, he's that quick. I mean, I just mentioned his name and he pops on just like that. Finish up a couple of thoughts before we go to John. A couple of people here on the text line regarding internet. Is broadband internet or high-speed internet, is it a luxury or a necessity? Says many people, here's a texter from Madison, says many people say they go to the library in places like Texas are closing many libraries. Good point. Also, Karina, who is waiting on the phone line, said it's depriving rural communities and minorities of internet. It's a likely calculated move to prevent them from being informed and voting Republicans out of office.
Right, and that's paraphrased. But
it's an interesting perspective. Also, Lynn from Minneapolis, we appreciate you listening in, Lynn, said that it's like a utility. Power companies should install fiber optics.
Right. And they also mentioned that just like those companies, they'll pay the upfront cost for installing infrastructure and they're not expecting to be paid back for it immediately. Whereas companies like Verizon are like, you're paying me back this year or we're not doing it.
Right. Great points. Appreciate you listening in on the show this afternoon. And I believe through the magic of, speaking of high-speed internet, we go all the way to northern Wisconsin. Our friend John Roach making an appearance with us again. John, first of all, my apologies. We kind of messed up on getting you the right link, so that's on us. I apologize for that.
I probably screwed it up, Todd. Probably my bad.
Well, we were talking those of you haven't joined us before, what the heck's the matter with them? But no, John is a longtime writer. He is an author, a screenwriter. I called you earlier in promoting this segment, and I truly mean this. You are a Renaissance man. Because you do so many things and you do them well.
Well, thanks. I think it's more about just having a short attention span. by the way, speaking of broadband, I'm coming to you via Starlink.
Oh, well, there you go.
Up here. And can I just tell you, broadband accessibility is a huge issue. Rural kids are being screwed. Mm-hmm. And it's like not having electricity or running water in the modern age. And, cell service is not good in the upper third of the state in many areas. And the old dish satellite services were not very good. Mm-hmm. Starlink is an epiphany. I mean, it's so much better than the other options, and so easy to install.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And Matt Flynn, the Matt Flynn show that comes on after ours, when we get together, Matt Flynn is a former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, older than me, but we've both been around politics. Matt, I cleaned up for radio. Matt says, we've seen some stuff. and insert other words for stuff. You've been around a while. You've seen some stuff. I made this point earlier.
I'm 70 years old, man. I've been around forever.
And you don't
I'm older than...
You look like I could have graduated with you, for goodness sake. Come on now. But here's the point, is that you've been around for a while, and I made the point earlier, agree or disagree, if guys like Jim Doyle on the Democratic side or Tommy Thompson on the Republican side were in office and a president or vice president of the different party came to the state and said, look, we're going to give you billions of dollars for broadband internet, they would have put aside those differences for a moment and said, you know what? We can disagree on a bunch of stuff, but we're happy the vice president came here to give us this money to help all of Wisconsin.
No question. No question. Look, what has happened in our nation, the polarization, is appalling. You know, Tommy was always willing to work to the middle. Doyle as well. But Tommy is it's more remarkable given what has happened to the Republican Party.
Right.
Where, to me, the Republican Party has been more drawn to its fringe than the Democrats have been to their fringe, because Joe Biden doesn't play on the fringe.
No.
He's a centrist Democrat by and large. Mm-hmm. and he's worked across the aisle his whole career. Counting among his friends at one time, Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I lament the fact that the middle has been lost. And I think the media has driven a lot of it. I think channel fragmentation, where people of radical viewpoints can find someone to verify their position, even though it's not based in fact. Mm-hmm. that's why this entire indictment of Trump is so fascinating, because Jack Smith seems to be a pretty bloodless dude.
Right.
He's just the opposite of Trump, who's all bluster and anger and, right, you know, overwhelms you with unverifiable statements or lies. Mm. And Smith speaks very little, doesn't seem to like the media, and obviously must lean in on provable fact to have his indictments have any chance of ending up in a conviction. And, you know, we have lost the ability to discuss using objective fact that all parties can agree on.
Yeah.
And that's not good for a democracy at all.
I want to go back to something you said, because I think it's fascinating. You brought up the media, which, of course, we're a part of. And, you know, we've never hidden the fact that we're owned by, you know, a guy that's a predominantly Democratic giver. That's open.
Sure.
But his edict to us, I've told this, I'll keep saying it because people need to hear this. When I sat down, I said, what is the agenda? Because I didn't have any ambition to join an organization where I was going to be a mouthpiece. I said, so what's the agenda? What do you want me to say? And immediately he says, tell the truth and do it with integrity.
Right.
Yeah. Well, right. I can do that.
Hello.
And so
I mean, it's not that hard.
Right? And so what is it, John? Why? I agree with you. I think you nailed it, that there's so many echo chambers now and people want to go to the echo chamber instead of listening to a guy like when we were growing up. You know, I'm a little younger, but yeah, I watched Walter Cronkite. And when he said that's the way it is, America just trusted him. That's the way it was.
Well, so I sat on the UW Journalism Board for Board of Visitors for 6 years. I worked for ABC, CBS. I've never been in a meet. I mean, first of all, everyone has a bias, right? Mm. That's understandable. And I think some media institutions that are credible institutions have a bit of a bias. The New York Times leans left of center, the Washington Post left of center, Wall Street Journal right of center. But there are some honorable journalists at all those publications. And if you do something gratuitously dishonest, you will lose your job.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are professionals amongst those ranks, and these conspiracists who think that somehow the New York Times and Washington Post manufacture facts, they have fact checkers.
Right.
I wonder how many fact checkers Fox News has.
I can't imagine any.
If any.
Right. Yeah. Any. Really? I'm not joking.
And I am too.
Yeah.
I would like to know that. now, some of the hosts and correspondents may have an ethic inside their staffs that they do check fact, but there are a lot of those shows that don't. And it's not as if the left isn't guilty of hyperbole as well.
Right.
But Trump created this incredibly toxic brew along with some Fox News commentators. I think that has been really destructive for our democracy. And what happened on January 6th was unprecedented. And there was an article in the New York Times today about someone who thought that Jack Smith was, you know, playing with fire.
Yeah.
And my response was, well, look at the fire that we're playing with if we don't prosecute Trump.
100%. 100%. I want to get, I was looking at my phone quick because you jarred my memory. Something that happened just today, or at least I guess late yesterday, it's all over Twitter. And by the way, I'm still calling it Twitter. I refuse to call it X, but it's all over Twitter. Britt Hume, a guy who at one time was a very respected chief political person at ABC when Peter Jennings was the anchor there. He left years ago to go to Fox, and in my opinion, he's gotten a little foxy over there. But Britt Hume had the audacity as the chief political person at Fox now to call out Trump because Charlie Kirk, right-wing former congressman, he said this. Kirk said, if Trump was such a failed president, why are they doing everything possible they can to prevent a second term of Trump, unquote. Britt Hume responds, quote, oh, I don't know. Maybe they just don't want a repeat of a failed presidency. Just guessing here.
I responded to that tweet myself. I said, because you don't want to fail again.
Right.
Duh.
But the point is that now all the right-wing folks, you know, on social media are attacking Britt Hume for having the audacity to call out the truth.
Yeah. No, they're a little bit of a circular. Fringe right is a little bit of a circular firing squad now.
Yeah.
They're eating their own, right?
Right.
And I think what is really interesting is Mike Pence's change of rhetoric since the indictment.
Yeah.
First of all, he's differentiating himself from other Republican primary candidates by being kind of forthright and much less of a toady than he was for 4 years. Because, to some extent, he's pretty much complicit in the Trump presidency. But he did act honorably on January 6th. I give him full credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for him to refuse to get in that limo,
right?
I thought was a big moment in American history.
Absolutely.
To not leave the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see if he can start being a lightning rod for moderate Republicans, because the truth is Trump wasn't able to destroy our democracy, but the verdict is still out as to whether or not he's destroyed the Republican Party.
See, I think the verdict is in. I just don't see how the current iteration of the party. I mean, I've talked to, I could sit on the air, John Sharples, a guy whose race I ran, a former professor, very moderate Republican on many things like women's.
Scott Klug.
Yeah, Scott Klug, our friend Scott. I asked Scott on the show a couple weeks ago. I said, could you get elected in a Republican primary in this district? And he said, no.
No. Well, there was gerrymandering done by the Dems that made it tough for Scott.
Right.
They did away some of the rural things, but that's neither here nor there. Scott's an honorable guy too.
Moderate. Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I voted for Tommy Thompson. Okay.
Right, yeah.
I never vote a straight ticket. I'm a total independent.
Yeah.
And I wish that there was a moderate Republican party that presented an option for me as a voter, because I'm not inclined to give any party my full blind loyalty.
Right.
As I've said in my old column, I'm grateful to both Republican and Democratic office holders for their willingness to serve, and I will respectfully continue to trust neither.
Well said.
You can't blindly follow any politician,
well,
my way of thinking.
To your point, former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, of course, from Janesville, a Wisconsin favorite son. We're both the same age. And, he's come out and said not only will he not attend the National Republican Convention in Milwaukee next year if Trump is the nominee, he will never vote for the guy, never support the guy. Now the guy that came after worked for him, Brian Stile, who's there now, he comes out this week and says, yep, if Trump's the nominee, I'm all in.
Paul for a long time. And, he reached some common ground with Barack Obama, to his credit, right?
Right.
In working out the budgets and stuff. But I don't know if you remember, but Paul wouldn't say Trump's name during the Republican primaries in 2016. He wouldn't say his name.
Yeah.
And then Trump is elected, and that was a leadership moment for Paul, and he fell in with Trump. And I found that a little disappointing. I know that he had to work with the Republican president, but he could have retained a level of independence in the face of Trump's hyperbole and lies. I wish he had. I think history would have been very kind to him had he done that.
Agreed. John, we're going to turn the page when we come back with your permission, because you know something about Wisconsin hockey and Wisconsin basketball.
Sure.
And I'm not speaking out of turn. I don't think you may have had a Wisconsin beverage or two. The university has decided to mix those things. Alcohol is going to be sold at the Kohl Center for hockey and the Bond Center as well, and also for basketball. We'll come back and talk to John about that. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Exciting series, and I'm sure a lot of New York fans will be ready to go to Chicago for the big game tomorrow.
That's right. They're going to be flying there. And that's why right now we'd like to offer those New York fans a few tips on how to handle the long, painful flight back home.
That's right, because 2 hours can seem like an eternity when your hopes have been dashed by doubles.
Welcome back to Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Network. It is 10 minutes before 3. That's 10 minutes before the Matt Flynn Show. A great job by Mr. Aaron Zomers on the board. You're asking, why is he playing that? Well, we had a little discussion with John Roach over the break, and you always learn something. It's like the layers of the onion come off. Explain to folks the impetus of that, John, and your... I didn't know you were on ESPN and had this show that was that predated this. Whoop, hang on. Start over again. We had your mic off. Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I just mentioned the break that, you know, we were going to talk about a sports topic, and that is serving alcohol at Camp Randall. And I said, you know, I did sports journalism for a long time out of Chicago. I had a show called The Sports Writers on TV, which was, you know, four crusty Chicago sports writers, Bill Gleason, Bill Joust, Rick Tellender of Sports Illustrated, and then the host, Ben Bentley, based on a WGN radio show, and I converted it to TV. And it became a cult hit, syndicated nationally in all the sports regionals as they were growing. And it was popular in Chicago at the outset.
Yeah.
And Second City in Chicago had a sketch using our show as fodder, and that was the Bears the Bulls sketch, which made its way to SNL with Chris Farley, George Wendt, a friend. Yeah. So that's what we were talking about.
That's amazing. I just love the fact that that sketch came from something that you created. I did not know that about you. So that's super cool. Speaking of sports, before the break, we were talking that Chris McIntosh, the athletic director at UW here, has announced that a little change in plans this year. They're going to start selling alcoholic beverages at both men's and women's basketball games, the Kohl Center, men's hockey games at the Kohl Center, and women's hockey games at Le Bon Arena. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Money. I think it's about money.
I agree 100%.
First of all, there are going to be about 25 college programs left standing when the television deals all settle in. And Wisconsin is in the running to be amongst those schools. Certainly the expansion of the Big Ten bodes well for Wisconsin. But if you look at Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin has a half to a third of the population, a half to the third of high school football programs, a half to a third of African-Americans who comprise a huge percentage of elite athletes on the college and pro scene. And our state economy is half or less of those of Pennsylvania, Ohio, California, which has just been added to the Big Ten, which is the fifth largest economy in the world, right ahead of Germany. And so for Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nebraska to be competitive over the long haul, they're going to need some private donors, and they're going to need, indigenous revenue streams, and alcohol is one of them. Wisconsin is hardly the first school to feature this. Wisconsin, I think, has held off longer than others. I think that it was only a matter of time. Now, I find it funny because when I was in school at Wisconsin, you know, you could, you know, lob a grenade and it could go off and no one would be hit by any shrapnel.
Right, right.
They would pay you, they would give you booze to come to the games. And people were smoking weed and drinking openly because there were 28,000 people in Camp Randall.
Right.
I do think that Wisconsin has issues with alcohol, which I think the university will be mindful of. They've been serving alcohol in the suites
right.
for well over a decade. So this is kind of an incremental increase in the serving. I think it'll come with some attendant police costs, but I think it's about revenue and it's about Wisconsin sports being competitive and also providing an entertainment experience that rivals the Brewers, the Bucks, yeah. and the Packers, all of whom who serve beer and seltzer.
Because I remember I had season tickets to men's hockey for a couple of years when they were back at the Coliseum, and you could join.
Yeah, I used to pour beer.
Well, you could be at the Blue Line Club, right, and go to the Blue Line Club behind the blue curtains and get all the beer.
I was in college, and I knew the guy who ran concessions at the Coliseum, and you'd get to go to the games for nothing. And 3 minutes before the end of the period, you run down and pre-fill 20 glasses, and then you'd just be throwing beer at people.
That's great.
So yeah, I mean, it's not just Wisconsin, Todd. It's where all of these schools are going.
Right.
It is an arms race of cash.
I agree with you 100%.
You know, athletes are now asking people to pay them to visit universities on recruiting trips.
Wow.
That's how mercenary it's become.
I mean,
I get it. If you're paying a coach $10 million, an athlete has every right to ask for compensation.
And you know, Nigel Hayes, former basketball player here at Wisconsin, was one of the first. Remember that sign that said, you know, athlete send money or whatever it was when college game day was in town? And people kind of laughed at him. But really, he was one of the main people, the impetus for the start of this whole conversation for NIL. And I'm fine with the players getting a cut. But to your point, I mean, Pete Carroll, now at the Seahawks, formerly USC, he was lamenting in an article a couple of days ago that, you know, the Pac-12 is now gone and the state of college athletics. About 2 minutes left, John. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I think that they're going to have contracts for the players, just like they have professional contracts. I think the players are going to have agents. Yeah. The elite players are going to have agents. I think the really interesting challenge for Luke Fickell is transfer portal kids are going to come and go. If you're a four-star and you're not playing, you're going to leave the next season.
Yeah.
I think the challenge for Fickell is to use – to retain some of the vestigial parts of what worked for Wisconsin since the Alvarez era dawned. And that is bring in great walk-ons and two and three-star athletes and develop them because they'll hang with the program, right?
Right?
When you start trafficking in four and five-star athletes, if they don't see the field, if they don't get as many shots as they want in a game, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
What's your
take on our last? Well, we've got 45 seconds, a minute here. What's your take on the outlook for Wisconsin football this year? Because there's an awful lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think that promotion isn't productivity. I wish Coach Fickell nothing but the best. Remember, I played for Paul Chris' dad.
Right.
The Chris are family friends and just like they are to everyone in Southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I wish Fickell the best. I think he's a good coach. I think he's brought enthusiasm. But he's a new coach. He's got a new offensive coach, a new defensive coach, an all new offensive scheme and an all new defensive scheme. And I think 14 transfer portals. These transitions are very tough. I think if they win 9 games, that'll be a good year. I don't think they're going to waltz into the national championship.
John Roach, you are a Renaissance man. You're one of those people, my friend, that every time I hear your voice and talk to you, I feel better for having done so. Thanks for being so gracious.
I'm blushing. Thanks.
No, seriously. Thank you. John Roach from somewhere beautiful up north. Thank you very much. Also, thank you to Pat Kreitler earlier, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. And, of course, most of all, for all of you for listening, we appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're believing, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next.